I'm Mark Sheehan, James Martin Research Fellow and the Oxford BRC Ethics Fellow.
So Mark, one of the things you're working on is companies that genetically test people and the ethics of that. Just give us an overview of what these companies do.
Yeah. Well, with the possibility of being able to map the genome, companies are now developed by offering a service whereby they analyse people's genetic samples and produce a readout that they can then compare to the latest scientific evidence, the latest research on genetics.
So why would people go and have their genomes mapped?
These companies offer a couple of services. One of them is a sort of ancestry-based one, so you can trace back your parentage and ancestors all the way back, as it were, the first mother and all that sort of stuff. They also offer a bunch of sort of lifestyle stuff, things about their associations between particular genes and the ability to taste bitterness or the ability to be affected by bitterness. Well, the final kind of service these companies offer is sort of a more medical one, so they provide tests for particular sorts of genetic conditions. One quite controversial one that some companies do test for and others don't is the BRCA1, the breast cancer gene. So the reasons for going to one of these companies to get their services is if you're curious about your ancestry, if you're just curious about your genetic makeup, or if you have some sort of genetic history, medical history that you think you can have an effect on by different lifestyles.
So the latter in particular sounds like a really important service. What's the ethical issue at stake?
I guess the main worry that people have with this is they consider this stuff medical information, and so they're concerned that companies are making money off what is ostensibly medical information. And they're worried about the safeguards that the companies are providing these their customers with. But mostly, I think the main objection is that the information itself, the research that's being produced, is quite young, and so they really don't have the knowledge of the connections between the genes and the conditions in question. So they don't really know that well how likely it is, what the risks are, and it's changing all the time with different sorts of research.
So the customer's not getting a very good service, but presumably that's just an issue for the customer, the person who's actually buying this product, as it were.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and the objection that people make about this being medical information and so it shouldn't be subject to commercial rules, one of the responses is exactly that, that this is a commercial business and that so long as the people are given adequate information that these things may not be true and they need to watch developing research for how they interpret this and that this is not to be taken as medical advice, which is one of the big worries. The evidence for thinking that this is a special sort of information, a special sort of service, and so deserves to be regulated in a different sort of way, in the way that we would regulate directly medical services, doesn't seem to me to quite hold up.
So you come down on the side of treating these companies like you would treat any other commercial company, like you would treat a business that made steel or a business that sold sweets.
That's right. And then typically the sort of business ethics sorts of models are you need to make sure that the customer is given every chance of understanding what it is that they're buying. The company has a limited responsibility to make sure that the customer understands what it is that they're buying and is not misled. But it's only a limited one. And then the other thing is that they have to be genuinely offering a service, so you can't be faking it, as it were.
Even if the information was really reliable, would the person who was given this information know what to do with it?
Well, one of the sort of related objections is that there really isn't a lot you can do about a lot of it. I mean, if it turns out the gene for late onset Alzheimer's, then there's not a lot you can do. I mean, the lifestyle changes might make something of a difference. The sort of underlying sense that I have of this industry is that if people do want to find out how their lives may unfold, it seems like that's up to them. And this is the famous devil's offer. If the devil offered you the knowledge of when you were going to die, would you take it? And I think it's a similar sort of question. I mean, some people would take it and some people wouldn't. But it doesn't seem to me that because it's dangerous and could have an effect on the way you live your life, that seems to be not good enough reason for denying people that opportunity.
You look like a fine figure of a man. Have you had your genome mapped?
I haven't. No, I'm not particularly fussed about it. I mean, I'm fussed about knowing the way it's all going to turn out. I guess my bottom line is that if you take it nothing too much and nothing too little, you should be all right.